Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Very excited to have our next guest, Carrie Steele. She is the first African-American woman to be elected to serve as the president of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago in the whole 130-year history of the commission. She's been with the commission for 11 years being elected. She has a number of fabulous awards, Outstanding Woman Elected Official, Outstanding Public Official of the Year, Black History Champion Award, and many, many others. President Carrie Steele, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me today.
You know, we met at a fun event. It was an Italian-American event, and I came over to you, and I'm so excited because when I vote, I see all those people on this water reclamation, and I don't know what you guys do, and I should, right?
Yes.
So we are going to tell everybody exactly what the Reclamation District of Greater Chicago does.
Thank you. Well, first, thank you for having me. And you are not alone. So many people have no idea what we do at the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. So we're a very essential agency that no one has ever heard of. But basically, we treat wastewater and we manage stormwater. So we deal with all of the water that leaves your house. Totally separate agency from the city of Chicago. So a lot of people will ask me when I'm out and about their water bill. We have nothing to do with your water bill. We just deal with the water that leaves your house. So that's probably never think about it. When you flush the toilet, when you run your dishwasher, wash clothes, when it rains really hard, where does that water go? It goes to us at Water Reclamation, and we treat all that dirty water, basically clean it up before it's released into your waterways or our waterways.
And so I think the question that a lot of people have, including myself, is why is it a political office? Why are we electing people? Is there something about the nature of what the commission does that is political?
Yes, it is political. So although we treat wastewater and manage stormwater for all of Cook County, we also oversee stormwater management projects like TARP and where that will be placed all across Cook County. So it's sort of, you will want your voters to feel comfortable that we're making the right decisions for such an important issue that basically affects our life, affects our health, clean water, and making sure we have proper stormwater management. So we're a 9-member board. Every 2 years, there are 3 vacancies, and we have 6-year terms, and we're elected countywide. But it's just to oversee everything, to make sure everything is not only transparent, but that we're spending the taxpayers' money in an appropriate way.
That makes a lot of sense. And you, I know you come from a different background. I know there are people on the commission who come from political backgrounds, lawyers and all different people, but you come from a scientific background. Can you tell our listeners how you came to this job and how you became commissioner and then president?
Oh, wow. Yes. It sounds weird that I ended up at Water Reclamation, but if you look at my background, you would think it was perfectly planned. So first, we do have a very professionally diverse board, but I am the only chemist and environmentalist on the board. Actually, my first job was at Water Reclamation. I worked as an intern there. So I went to college for science. I always loved science. Basically stumbled upon the Water Reclamation because they have jobs in their laboratories. But through my experience working with them every summer, that's when I probably officially became, I like to say, an environmentalist. But I swore off politics. My family's in politics. My father was a retired, not only Chicago alderman, but an appellate court justice. So I knew the political system and was always involved in Young Democrats and whatnot, but said I would never be in politics. But as you work and you grow older, of course, I moved into my first home. And I got water in the basement and ended up at community meetings talking about what we do at Water Reclamation, comparing the water department to Water Rec, because I worked both places in their laboratories. And someone basically asked me, one of the elected officials, if I would want to run for office and did I know there was an elected board. At that point, I didn't even know there was an elected board, like in my early 20s. but found out there was, ran for office, lost the first time, but came extremely close, and I got bit by that political bug. So I ran again, was successful, and that's how the story goes. After my first term, because of my experience at Water Reclamation, my board mates unanimously elected me to be their president, and here I am starting my third term now.
That's really interesting. I think sometimes your genetics get the best of you, right? You know, with all those people in politics in your family, I don't know that you had a whole lot of choice in the matter, right? We're here talking to President Carrie Steele. She is the president of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. So, President Steele, can you talk a little bit about some tips that you have for homeowners? I want to talk a little bit about flooding and what your organization does and what it can do, and what tips you have for people out there with homes with basements.
Thank you for asking that question. And tips for homeowners to combat flooding. First, thank you for even mentioning homeowners, because it is a team effort when we're thinking about how we are going to fight against climate change. But a few tips for homeowners would be definitely to make sure your gutters are clean, your drains, disconnect that downspout, make sure it is pointed away from your home. Also, we love rain barrels at the MWRD, so if you can install a rain barrel, it's a great way to not only capture storm water and keep it out of those unwanted places, but you can also recycle that water and use it for other things. So it's a great way to conserve water as well. But also, permeable pavements. That's a great way, in addition to the rain barrels, to help keep that stormwater out of unwanted places.
Can you explain what that is?
A permeable pavement is a pavement, or semi-permeable pavement where water can somewhat like percolate through the bricks and the pavement instead of just puddling on top when it rains. So it gives you space underneath the pavement for water to be stored and soak into the earth naturally at a slow pace instead of pulling on the outside, like if you have concrete or asphalt or something like that.
Is Chicago flood prone compared to perhaps other areas of the country?
Yes, Chicago is definitely flood prone. One, we're built on marshland, so we're already built on a flat area. And then as you see all the beautiful buildings that we see outside of the studio right now, we're really growing fast and population is increasing. But guess what? Our infrastructure is out of sight, out of mind. And we are not keeping up with our infrastructure, our local infrastructure, probably at a pace that we should be for all the development that's rising all over the city. So because of that and the more intense rain events that are happening more often, we are definitely more flood prone. And that's one reason why we at the Water Reclamation, I feel, are so important right now, because we have to be able to not only have funding to implement more stormwater management projects, but also place green infrastructure in places like we discussed with the permeable pavements, the rain gardens. Think of any way we can to help add to stormwater management to make sure that we are able to keep water out of those unwanted places when we have these heavy rain events.
Now, we talked earlier about you being a chemist and environmentalist, and you're educated in the sciences, which obviously is very, very important. How does that make you do your job differently, do you think? I mean, you know, obviously when people don't have the knowledge that you have, they're in these positions and they're doing what they're doing in a public way and advocating for the public's interest. But you as a chemist, how does that really focus you on how you do your job?
My chemistry background gives me the ability to relate to water reclamation with a different set of eyes than my other board mates. Water reclamation is built on, I would say, data, numbers, a lot of things like that. And my experience as far as working in the lab as a water chemist, as a water sampler, a lab tech, but also my experience working at the district, knowing those facilities. We have 7 treatment plants and 23 pumping stations across Cook County. So having that experience working at the plant gives me the ability to not only relate to our staff and our workers, but also understand quicker when someone approaches us about a treatment process or something we should do differently. I'm able to relate to it instantly and kind of connect in a way that my other members on the board probably would have to read up on for a couple of weeks to catch up to what they're saying.
Your website, the website for the Water Reclamation District, has some very interesting things. And for our listeners who are environmentalists, are concerned about the environment, or have children or grandchildren who are interested, as I think a lot of our young people are becoming more and more aware of these issues, what are some of the tips that you have on the website that you talk about to kind of help preserve the cleanliness of our water and are really kind of good things to do for our environment?
Oh, yes. Great tips and daily habits we should think about all the time. Definitely not throwing those prescription drugs down the drain or flushing them down the toilet. It is very important to properly dispose of any medications that you have in your home that you're not using anymore. So we ask that you drop them off at a drug collection site. We have them at our plants, but also a lot of the pharmacies now, you'll see that bin. It's very important that you dispose of them the right way, because not only will it throw off the aquatic life system in the river, but it will also mess with our treatment process, if I'm being honest. So we have to try to keep up with how the environment changes to make sure we're treating water properly. So we definitely need you to dispose of those drugs in the proper way. Also, wipes. Do not flush wipes down the toilet. Basically, they say flushable, but too much of anything will definitely clog your pipes, and wipes are no good for us at the MWRD. We ran into a lot of issues with that around the time of COVID. But also, when it's raining really hard, we have overflow action days where we ask people to conserve water at home. Basically, delay on running the dishwasher, washing clothes, take shorter showers so that water can travel to the MWRD. So those are three simple things that you can implement in your daily lives that would help us out a lot and help us maintain a clean water environment that most people don't think of regularly.
When water gets processed through your plants, where does it get dumped? Where does the water go?
Great question. So we clean the water. We clean up all that dirty water at one of our 7 treatment plants, and that water is released into our Chicago waterways. So the Calumet River, the Des Plaines River, Chicago River, basically not Lake Michigan, that is released into the waterways, travels all the way down to the Mississippi River, the Gulf of Mexico. You should never see that water again. And that is an important part of our job. And that ties into with when I say we protect Lake Michigan, our primary drinking water source. Because we treat the water and release it into the waterways and it travels away from the city, it's not contaminating our lake and staying away from our drinking water source.
I'm assuming there are serious, strict laws about where and where this water goes, right?
Yes,
and
definitely.
Who decides that? Because, you know, on one hand, yes, keep it away from our Lake Michigan, but if you send it to the Mississippi River and it goes down to, Mississippi, they don't want our water, dirty water anyway, right? So it's not dirty, but it's being released there. So how do those laws get passed? Is it a constant dispute among jurisdictions?
So actually, we have we follow one, the Clean Water Act, and we follow regulations from the EPA. So this is one point where I could brag on the MWRD, because our treatment process is so good. The Mississippi River might want our water that we release into the waterways, because I would say since 1970, the populations of fish in the Chicago River have increased by over 70 different types of fish. And that's a true testament to our treatment process and how clean it is. Some people will say it's even drinkable, but I wouldn't take it that far. But it's definitely through science and, you know, just really our great staff at Water Reclamation. We stick to our requirements. In fact, we go above and beyond. We get awards every year for exceeding the expectations of our treatment process, releasing into the Chicago River, the water we release into the river is cleaner than the water that's actually there. So we do a pretty awesome job at what we do. And even though it's traveling down the Mississippi River to the Gulf of Mexico, we are not, we at Chicago, Cook County Water Reclamation, we're not contributing to anything that's going on in the Mississippi River where it's already contaminated.
So are there differences in how different municipalities and counties across the country treat water, or is it all kind of the same process?
You know, there are some differences depending on what issues a certain city might be having with their, you know, water. But for the most part, it is mostly the same. And the regulations, the Environmental Protection Agency is for, you know, their regulations they put in place are for everyone. But I will say once again, we are great at what we do, and a lot of people from around the world will come to tour our facilities to see, you know, what we're doing and mimic our process. Stickney, one of our treatment plants, is the largest wastewater treatment facility in the world. So people come to see our treatment process, get tips from us. We've started to do a lot of knowledge exchanges with other countries, because you'll see now, like Denmark, everyone's having issues with climate change and extreme rain events. So countries or places like Denmark, they'll visit us, we'll visit them. Their treatment facilities might be smaller, but the concept, kind of what we're doing, cleaning up that water, basically the basics is the same. So we'll, you know, talk to each other and then, you know, just try to make sure we're all doing what we can to maintain a clean water environment.
Do you drink bottled water?
You know, I drink bottled water to be as a convenience. I do. And I will say this, this is weird too. I used to work for the water department in their control laboratory as a chemist. And you know, the City of Chicago Water Department provides us with our drinking water. I did a undercover laboratory experiment with the water, and Chicago water is great. So for convenience, but you don't have to drink bottled water.
I just had to ask that. Carrie Steele, I'm so happy to have had you in here. And if you have any initiatives or anything in the future, I hope you come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the president of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. And I encourage you to go to the website. It's very interesting. There's a virtual tour. I learned a lot. And thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for celebrating Water Week also.